Today, I want to invite all of you to celebration. And I want you to begin to get that rhythm. This is Holy Week. Tonight at 6:30, we're going to fill this house. And guess what? To fill this house, you need to be there. You need to be in this place, 6:30, 45 minutes of solid praise. I'm going to ask you, last night, you know, people got excited last night. How many of y'all got excited to see UK win and be in another national championship? Okay. Now what? And how many of y'all were equally excited to see Ohio State blow a 13-point lead in the second game? No, I'm just kidding. I shouldn't celebrate that way. But, you know, hey, listen, I love sports. I'm glad people get, you know, excited and get hyped up about that. Our daughter is a UK student, and Clacy calls. So she said, "You would not believe it. This place is going crazy." And I thought to myself, I said, here we start a Holy Week. Okay, of the craziest message in the world, that our sins can be forgiven and our life be renewed. And the church will be like, "Ah, it's Easter." Now, somewhere down the line, this is either real or it's not. You see, I don't think this is make-believe. I mean, I'm really serious with you. Honestly, if I thought this was just a message and I needed a job, if this wasn't real, I'd be at the lake right now. I'm telling you, that's where I'd be right now. Probably, well, it's not time yet, but later on this afternoon, I would indulge in spirit. Because all we would have is this. But you see, I want to bring you some really good news that I think we need to be reawakened to. There's more than this. And we catch Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, the 11th chapter. And Jesus is looking over a city. He's looking over the city that he's going to die in. I looked over that city a few years back in 1993. The first time I ever saw that city is a small city called Jerusalem. A city that has always been in the news. And I can't approach Easter without the news of Jerusalem. This week, guess what was in the news? Jerusalem. Last week, guess what was in the news? It's always in the news. I thought about that this week. Sometimes I drive down the roads and I like to think to myself, because I always agree with me. And I said, "Self, what about the news of Jerusalem?" And the Lord said, "Don't listen to yourself, listen to me. From Jerusalem, the greatest news of all has come." From Jerusalem, the city that Jesus went into. Well, we start this Holy Week with God makes a move. Mark chapter 11, let's look. God makes a move. Jesus came to us. Reverend Jim, isn't that correct? We could not go to him. That's the dilemma of the First Testament. We tried laws, sacrifices, prophets, major minors. We tried literature. We tried everything. And how many of you have been at the same exhaustion after trying everything the books recommended? You still figure it out. "I can't save myself. I can't save myself." How many of y'all 12-stepped it, 13-stepped it, added a couple of your own steps, worked with your neighbor, everything else, and you came to the conclusion, "Wait a minute, I can't save my what? Self." Now, when you get there, you'll hear him. When you get there, did you hear what I just told you? You'll start hearing him. And guess what Jesus wants to do? I got great news. He wants to be with everybody. Jesus wants to be with everybody. Now, some of y'all are saying right now, "Pastor Steve, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done." Now, you may give you some good news. It doesn't matter what you've done. What do you think about that? Now, some of y'all been in church all day. "Well, yes, it does. Now, Pastor Steve, I disagree with you. I ain't never drank a beer." Well, guess what that means? You're a non-alcoholic, hell-bound sinner. And you say, "Well, I ain't never smoked a cigarette." You're fixing to smoke. You might as well have a pre-flight trip. You and I can't save ourselves. Somebody say, "I get it." Now, hold on. But see, until you get that, you can't get on with it. This is where we're hung up. But you know what? I don't know about you. As I look into the city, you see, we catch Jesus this morning. Before he goes into the city, he looks into the city. Man, I think about all the things that are in the city.
How many of y'all have ever looked into the city? If it was us today in this modern era of time, most of us, when we experience travel, we fly into the what? And that's what we do in our day and time. How many of y'all have ever flown to the city and sat by the window seat? How many of y'all like sitting on the window still? After all these years, many, many flights, and I don't even like airports. I don't like airports. Airports make me unholy. You know, they're always canceling flights. You know, I'm not even going there. I don't even need to preach about that. Y'all been to the airport. That's the definition of hell. You better follow Jesus. Are you going to be in an airport the rest of your life? What do you think about that? Going through gate after gate after gate, leading nowhere. That's hell. Let me say what. Now, as you fly in, you look out the window, you see the what? City. As Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem, guess what he did to that city? Anybody know? I had a verse in the Bible that came back to haunt me. When I was a child in our house, I had very primitive parents. We didn't get to choose what we wanted to do as children. We actually had to do what our parents wanted to do. I know that style is out of style, but it's really effective. It's called parenting. And so we would go to Sunday school, and I had to go to Sunday school. Whether I wanted to go to Sunday school or want, I had to go to Sunday school. And I didn't want to most of the time, but I had to go. And it didn't psychologically affect me. It actually led me to learn some things that eventually changed my life, because I don't know about you, I was not born brilliant. I was born stupid. How many of y'all were born stupid? If you don't think you were born stupid, think about what you did when you were 16. What was in you came out. How many of y'all have had that moment? Yeah, and guess what came out of me when I was 16? Stupid. And I found out you can't fix stupid. You can't. But Jesus can save stupid. Amen? Isn't that great? And he can rework it. Well, look what happens here. This little verse, and I remember in Sunday school, I thought I was so big and bad. I thought I had this down. I was getting one by the teacher. Alex, I was getting one by the teacher. We had a teacher, we had to have a memory verse every Sunday morning. Coach, I don't know if you remember that. Every Sunday morning, I had to have a memory verse. So I thought I'd be real cool. Guess what my memory verse was? Jesus wept. So every Sunday, I'd go, Jesus wept. Dr. Parks would go, do you have any other verses? Jesus wept. Huh. Guess who got who? Jesus wept is one of the most significant verses in the Bible. He wept so much that he died. He wept so much that he lived. He wept so much that he came into. When Jesus looked at the city, and guess what? The city didn't look any different than it does now. It had injustice in it. It had poverty in it. It had oppression in it. When Jesus looked at Jerusalem, Jerusalem wasn't even controlled by the people God gave it to. It was controlled by the Romans. And they were oppressed people. When Jesus looked into the city, he didn't see the issue of social justice. He saw the chance at justification. That our sins might be what? Forgiven. So this week, as it unfolds, man, I want you to know that Jesus weeps over the city, but I'd like to tagline with that. Just heads up. Maybe we need to start weeping over the city a little bit. You know, sometimes in the everyday hustle and bustle and rush of putting life together, going through life, it's ups, it's downs, it's ins, it's out. We forget to weep and care as much as Jesus did. I want you to feel that intensity. Do you realize that Jesus cares so much for you that he wept for you? So I'm going to give you three things that set our Holy Week up. First, Jesus is willing to come in. Jesus is willing to come in. Go with me to Mark chapter 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples. Now you're going to find out, guess what? Jesus comes and Jesus sins. Do you hear those two words? Jesus comes and Jesus what? Sins. That's a rhythm that stays in faith. Jesus comes into us, and then what does he do with us? Sins us. There's rhythm to God. How many of y'all are glad to know we worship a God of rhythm? We really do. He comes to us. Now today, I love you guys so much. Listen, I got to say some tough stuff today. Jesus is a tough God. Jesus forgives crazy things. And he comes into our lives. He comes. As he looked at the city, as he wept over that city, as he looked into that city, guess what Jesus was seeing? Ready for this? His place of death. How many of you, when you look into this city, you see your place of death? But Jesus saw his place of death for our opportunity of what? Life. Exactly right. Y'all got it. His place of death brought us what? Life. And it's time for us to celebrate that life as we look into the what? City. Jesus didn't want to fix the city. He wanted to save the city. It's not about just fixing the injustice of the city. It's about totally remaking the city in the image of God. God wants to be with us. Now follow me. Sometimes God calls us and sends us to do simple things, but to go his way. Amen? To go his way. Check it out. He sends two of his disciples. How many of his disciples did he send? Come on, don't get all holy on me here. Don't get too sophisticated. He sent two disciples. You know why? Those are the two disciples that were supposed to go. Now, I know this blows. See, in America, we can't do. Well, how come Jesus didn't send all 12? Because he didn't. Jesus doesn't send everybody all the time. And that makes some of you go, well, that's not fair. That's not just. That's not. Guess what? God doesn't care what you think. Somebody tell your neighbor, he don't care what you think. Come on, tell him. Come on, I'm going to preach a little bit today. It's Easter time. Tell him. It's going to wait. Some of y'all going to be just blown away because some of y'all walked in here. Well, I don't know about the music. I don't know about the parking lot. I don't know about this. God don't care. Here's the most beautiful news I discovered in my faith. God doesn't like church people. And that's when God and I hooked up because I said, I don't either. But I said, Harvey, let me tell you what I love. I love people that'll follow Jesus. I love people that have fallen in love with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I was a sinner, man. And I still struggle. But guess what? I have found this. There is a loving Jesus who will weep over the city, who will look into the city, who will come on in there and change everything in there. If you'll just let him what? Change everything. Jesus is going to come in. And he's going to come in exactly the way he said he was. So it starts out and he tells the two disciples, he said, you go to the city, outside the city, there'll be a colt there that's never been ridden. Untie that colt and bring it to me. And if anybody says, what are you doing untying that colt? You tell them the Lord has need of it. Now, and listen, I want y'all to know some things. Following Jesus is tough. I mean, why didn't Jesus just do one of them little bewitched things and twinkle a donkey right there so we wouldn't have any controversy? But Jesus sends two disciples. What did they have to go in? Faith. But I want you to notice something. When Jesus sends you, this is beautiful. It is as he says. When Jesus sends you, it is as he what? Says. Because guess what they did? Read the scripture right there. What does it say? They went. They went just like Jesus told them, okay? And they found a donkey. Look, when they found a donkey outside in the street, tied at a doorway, as they untied it, guess what happened? Now, Sheriff, let's put this context. Let's put this story in our context, okay? Let's say I'm going to bring Jesus in. We're up there, Smith's Grove. We got to bring him on in to Bowling Green, all right? And the Lord looks at me and says, Ayers, I want you and Jamie to go get a police car, sheriff's car, and bring it back to me. And if the sheriff says anything to you, you tell him, I have need of it, and I'll bring it back. Now, can you imagine me walking up here to the sheriff going, Sheriff, I need your car. He said, well, now listen, I'd love to give it to you. I mean, he's always wanting to be elected, so he'll give it to you. But he'll say this. He said, now let me tell you, though, I can't do it because of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And I say, but Sheriff, but the Lord has need of it. But you know what? If the Lord had sent me to get the sheriff's car, the Lord will have already talked to the sheriff. And the sheriff will say, guess what? You take it and you bring it back and you better wash it. Now, sheriff would add to it a little bit. He said, and it better be clean when you bring it back. But the Lord had need for it. And guess what? It was just as he said. I want to stop there for just a moment. It was just as he said. Is somebody hearing what the scripture is trying to tell us? It is just as he said. How many of y'all are glad to know on this Palm Sunday morning, it is just as he said. He's coming in. And guess what? I'm going to challenge you to be here every service you can possibly be. I'm going to ask you, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't let things get in your way this week. How many of y'all need to be untied a little bit? How many of y'all are too tied? Now, be careful with where your mind goes with this. How many of y'all are too tied to your donkey? Could be translated. How many of y'all sit on your donkey all the time? Hold on to your what? Donkey. Or are you going to let Jesus ride? You're going to let Jesus ride in. Well, guess what? They do exactly what he says do. They do exactly what he says do. And they bring the donkey back. And when they bring the donkey back, they put Jesus right on that donkey, that colt, an untied colt. We know it's a beast of burden. We know at this ancient time, a colt was also a donkey. It was exactly as the scripture said it would be. Jesus would come riding in exactly. It was exactly as God said it would be. So here's what I want you to know right off the bat this morning. God comes in. He comes in. Now, some of you this morning, guess what? You got to say, Lord Jesus, I'm tired of wrestling. I need you to come into my what? Once he comes into your life, what happens to your life? Everything changes. Not just some things change. What? How many of y'all got untied? Steve, did you get untied a little bit when Jesus came? He said, Bailey, I'm coming in there and I'm going to untie what's tied you. I had to get untied from some things. How many of y'all are tied to some bad attitudes? Which is, how many of y'all going to automatically wake up on Monday morning and see how bad the day is? How many of y'all are one of these people? As soon as it says there's a 20% chance of rain, it's raining. You ignore the 80% sunshine because you're always looking for the rain. Hello? God comes in. God comes in. God comes. He does. And he comes in his way exactly as he said he would, riding. They got their cloaks on top of him, and they get to the city. And guess what? As they come in, guess what the people start doing? Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise to the great and high King. Now, I'm going to give you three things that Jesus does that we're going to focus on this week. Number one, he comes in. But it even gets better than that. He stays with it. You know what's popped off our gear in this nation? The more I pray about this, the more I think about this, the more I watch this, I'm going to have to tell you, I'm starting to weep over my nation. And I think that's a good thing because I hadn't wept. You know what I've done? I've kind of like, oh my gosh, how much crazier can we get? Now my heart's breaking because guess what I'm discovering? I'm not surprised. You know why I'm not surprised? Every crazy thing you see on the news doesn't surprise me a bit because guess what I already know? You know it too. We can't save ourselves. We've been in a mad dash for about 70 years trying to do what? Save ourselves. Now, I want to wake y'all up. How's it going? I mean, eventually you got to take a... Eventually, Mr. Gibson, you probably had to do this a couple times in your life. Take an inventory. Let's take an inventory. How are our plans doing? How's our kids? How's our schools? How's our society? How's it working out for us? Does that make sense? How's that plan working? And what did we discover? How many of y'all have to take a personal inventory every once in a while and you find out the plan you into isn't really a good plan? Stay with it. I want to thank you guys for staying with your marriages. How many of y'all found if you stay with marriage, eventually you'll like the person you didn't like? Well, I want to challenge y'all. Stay with them until you like them. And let me help you. That'll take a lifetime. Now, hold on, there's something to staying with it. How many of y'all glad to know that Jesus has the power to stay with it? See, this blows me away. God went into Jerusalem to die. Die. And I wish I could tell y'all that I loved y'all so much. If Jesus had called me to come into Bowling Green to die for you, I'd have said, Lord, I'm heading on Sunday. You know what I'd probably have said? What about Nashville? I said, get Pastor Jamie to die for Bowling Green. I ain't dying for Bowling Green. Kill Jamie, not me. Come on, I'm being honest. I'd have tried to get out of it. Man, I wish I could tell y'all I was braver than that. I'd try to get out of it. How many of y'all try to get out of it? How many of y'all would even get hold of it? Lord, I know that's not your will. No, it's God's will. Now, see, this is where a lot of people struggle in their mind. Surely a loving and merciful God would never have his son crucified. No, a loving and merciful God would crucify his son. Because you see, here's what you don't understand. God's not only human, he's God. And God does something humans won't do. God will die so we can live. We'll kill everybody else so we can live. We have a whole history full of killing each other so one group might prevail. But God dies so we can what? He stays with it. How many of y'all glad that Jesus stayed with it? Anybody excited that Jesus stayed with it? Huh? You glad Jesus stayed with it? He'll stay with it even when we can't hang in there. God comes on what? In. He comes in there. He stays in there to give us what? You ready? I want you to remember this. He comes in. He stays there so we can what? Get out of here. We can't get out of this world without who? There it is. We can't get out of this world without who? Jesus. So let me ask you a question. Y'all ready to celebrate this week? I'm going to ask you to do some things, man. We got to get this real. People need to know Jesus is real. Amen. You know, I already said, well, listen, I'm all for sports, man. That's a cool thing. But guess what? I'm waiting for the moment when the energy of God's people is at a greater level than a basketball game. Even a football game. Even a Super Bowl. Because Coach Anderson, you know as well, you've done this all your life. Championships are celebrated and gone. They're forgotten. Which is last night, I was struggling to remember the last time UK won a national championship. I think it was 98. That wasn't that long ago. But it's long ago. Right? I couldn't remember. What we create as forever tends to be a moment, doesn't it? I mean, now, some of y'all are having this. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but you will if you keep breathing. If you stay with it, you'll know what I'm talking about. How many of you all have gotten to this point of life faster than you thought you were going to get there? I mean, I'm kind of freaking out yesterday. I got a kid calling me from college. I got one fixing to get married. When did that happen? I'm looking in the mirror going, dang, you look like your daddy. But you know what God's telling me? Hold on. I've come. I'm staying. You're going with me. This is the greatest news I know. Jesus came to say, Roger, guess what Jesus says? Y'all going with me. He says, you guys are coming with me. He said, you are going with me. I have come so that you might be where I am. You're going with me. Now, I don't know about y'all, but we got the greatest message in the world. Hello, the greatest message in the world to tell the world. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to invite, hey, people that don't even like God, I'm telling you, I'm giving you a heads up. People that don't like God will come to church at Easter. That's cool. Tell them to come to church. Don't be one of these snooty church people that goes, well, I can't believe all these people come to church on Easter. Believe it. It's the greatest message on earth. Why wouldn't we be celebrating an opportunity to tell our beloved human beings about the greatest message of earth? See, what some of y'all need to wake up to because you've been deceived, the church won't save you. That's a lie out of hell. The church didn't ride on a donkey. Jesus did. They didn't say, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the church. They said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he, Jesus, who comes in the name of the Lord. You know what? I don't see no church coming out of a grave. But I know what Jesus has. Well, let's set the rhythm. How many of y'all going to be here this week? You don't have to raise your hand or anything. Just be here. 12 o'clock noon every day this week. 12 o'clock noon every day this week. And we'll be done at 45 minutes. And let me tell you what, this is Holy Week. This is the only week in the year that we're done on time. Because the Spirit of God is that saturated. We'll be done on time. I'd love for a lot of you, hundreds of you, to come back in through work and they go, where you been for lunch? Let me tell you what I learned today. Let me tell you what I celebrated today. Let me tell you who's on the move today. Let me tell you who's coming in the city today. He has a name. His name is what? Jesus. You know what I really hope is? I hope y'all got to make this happen in Christ, in Christ. Go tell them that he's real. There's all kinds of neighborhoods here at Bowling Green, and it's gotten warm early. How many of y'all are out walking or strollering new babies or all kinds of new things in your life? As you're out there doing life, guess what you need to be doing? Hey, come here. I want you to know Jesus came into the city. Now, if you'll do this, guess what? Let's get crazy. Sunday morning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have like an Easter service. It's going to be off the hook crazy. Y'all going to be here? Y'all coming back next Sunday? Of course you are. I don't even have to ask you. It's Easter. Okay? Some of you go, well, Pastor Steve, you know it's spring break. It's Easter. Make sense? It's Easter. Invite people to come. Now, we're going to baptize at 8 o'clock, 9:30, 11, and after 11. I hope after 11 we have all kinds of problems. I hope there's so many people have come to Christ. I hope I got to call Merle and say, Merle, I need you to open up that swimming pool you got over there. I mean, we're overloaded here. The baptistry can't handle it. Jamie's about to pass out, and I want to see him float before the day's over, all right? Come on, hold on. Now, listen, y'all don't believe that. When we believe that'll happen, we got a possibility of seeing that. So if y'all look at me like I'm crazy, you look like, oh, Pastor Steve, that's so funny. If Jesus could do it in Jerusalem, he can do it in Bowling Green. I've never seen 3,000 people baptized in one day. I want to. I would love to wake up on Monday morning like this. Elizabeth goes, what's the matter with you? I said, you got to take me to the doctor. I've sprung my back. I love to tell Elizabeth about all my ailments. She just shakes her head and she said, oh gosh, it's just going to get worse. I said, you just wait. I said, I got bunions coming, all kinds of things that are going to go wrong with me. I get to share with you. But I can just see me right now, honey, you got to take me over to a chiropractor or something, get my back adjusted. I tell you what, we baptized a lot of God's people. I'd love to be wore out on Monday morning baptizing. That'd be awesome. Andy, you got a new knee now, so you can help. No, I'd like to be wore out, wouldn't you? I'd love to have called Merle. We got to get in the pool. Well, now, what about regulations? Tell the city to sue Jesus. He's on the move. Untie it. Release it. Let Jesus in. Let him stay at work. Let him take you out of here to where he is. Make sense? All right, you got your thinkers on, your stirrers on, you're moving forth. Y'all are beautiful folks. Once again, I just want to thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be your pastor, one of your pastors. It's a lot of fun. Y'all are great people. But you know what? There's some people here today. God didn't bring you here to just have fun. He went way beyond that. He wants you to be one of those baptized on Sunday morning. I mean, what a great Sunday to get baptized on. When did you get baptized? Easter. Let me help you what Easter is. That's like the big NASCAR race, okay? It's Daytona. It's UK winning a national championship. Miller, that's how much God's changed me. I went for UK last night. Only because they paid for my daughter's education. But I came on. I wasn't inconsistent. And you've been wearing blue since 1998. You've had that same shirt on since 1998, hoping this day would come. Now, that's a man that stays with it, okay? Now, look here. Hold on. This is greater than a national championship. It's greater than a Super Bowl. What's this? How many of y'all realize, now I know some of you women don't want to hear this. Your salvation is greater than your marriage. The day I was saved was greater than the day I got married. I know Elizabeth will agree with that, but see what I'm saying? It's greater than what we can experience. And what amazes me
We will create, we tend to treat God as a side dish to our life instead of the main course. You know, I like side dishes when I eat, don't y'all? But they always put them in little dishes. How many of y'all ever been to like one of those really cool restaurants where they bring you vegetables and you really don't know what they are? They call them weird names, you know, little side dishes. They only give you about three of them. It's interesting to me. You know, you go to country cooking, they give you like macaroni and cheese. You know, buffet, you can eat all you want. You go to a fancy restaurant, it costs a lot. They give you like two tomatoes with a green thing in the middle of it. And they warm them up. So these people don't know how to eat. These people are messed up. They have warm tomatoes and cold green beans. What's up with that? Cook your beans and throw a little ham on top of them. He said, Pastor, that'll kill you. If you get saved, you don't have to worry about dying as much. See, the reason people fear all these foods is because they're scared of dying. Me, I'm in the grace of Jesus. I eat well, die free. I'm untied in the name of Jesus. Amen? I'm untied. Live. Live. Now this week, some of y'all need to meet Jesus. Some of you need to be baptized this Sunday. This is a great Sunday to do it. Amen? Let's get that taken care of. Some of y'all been putting that off for like, I don't know, 50 years. Barbara put it off for more than a day. But let me tell you about Barbara's testimony today. She got it done. Isn't that neat? She got it done. Get that done. If you haven't received Jesus yet, he would love to receive you. Isn't that cool? You say, what do I got to do to receive Jesus? First of all, you got to realize you're a sinner. How many of y'all are that far along? You've sinned, you've messed up. You'd have been amazed how many people aren't that far along. Haven't you noticed how we have people in our world today, it's never their fault? How many of y'all notice that? They don't do anything wrong. How many of y'all got a friend that does nothing wrong? Aren't they obnoxious? How many of y'all avoid them on a regular basis? Me too. Yeah, they don't do anything wrong. Well, here's what free people realize. I'm a sinner saved in Christ. I messed up and God came. And Jesus came into our lives and forgave us of what? Sin. All of it. So he comes in. He stays with. And he takes us where he is. Y'all got that today? Y'all been a beautiful day. Some of y'all need to come and receive that. As our pastors come, let's stand up. So our pastor's going to be up here. And baptism. Just come and pray. This be a great week. How many of y'all are coming back tonight? Come on, we got to pack the house tonight. Come on, you coming back tonight. Listen, I want you to come back tonight. Listen, some of y'all have never been. Listen, I know we don't have Sunday evening services. Okay, watch this. Listen, some of you young people, I had to go to church every Sunday evening. And guess how many Sunday evenings I wanted to go? None. I didn't know anything about Disney. Because they had church service during the Disney. You know, I never saw those shows. They'd be talking about them in school. I said, I don't know what y'all are talking about. I go to training union. They said, what's training union? I said, they're teaching us how to be a Baptist. That really helped me. But you know, in the midst of all that, guess who I found? No, I didn't find him. Guess who found me? Jesus. And he's found some of y'all today. Listen, if you don't know him, today's your day. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Okay? And some of you have already done that this week. You did it to the single mother's oil change. You had a moment with Jesus this week that you know you need to be saved. A lot of you have talked to me about this. If you have been baptized as an infant, and I appreciate your questions, your emails, your dialogue, okay? At Hillview, we in no way want to say that was an unworthy experience. Because guess what? Yeah, is that right? Your mom and daddy, when you did a little video thing, they said, we want you to know Jesus. Now, later as an adult, you said, you know what, mom and daddy? I do. At God's talk, you said, I do. And I'm immersed in Christ, okay? So I just want to make sure everybody's clear with that, okay? As an adult, I use this line a lot. Y'all probably get tired of hearing it. When you were a baby, you didn't have a choice. Because you ate food you never would eat again. Because later on, you had a choice. None of y'all have ordered smashed up baby food squash since you were a baby. But now it's your time to confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Let me help you with something. Baptism at Hillview Heights Church is not an initiation for membership. That is unbiblical. It is a confession
of what God, Jesus Christ himself, has done in your life. He's buried you in him. He's risen you in him. And he's walking with you in him. It'll work. So if you haven't got that done, Easter's a great time to get that done. If you've never received Christ, that's why we had church today, so that you might be saved. Isn't that amazing? If you've been saved and you need to walk closer with the Lord, I would come and pray. Can I just tell you what I found? This is why baptism's important to me. I find if you can't take the first step, it's hard to get on in there closer and deeper in your faith. And that's just something I've learned over the years of ministering. So I like to tell y'all what I learned. So take that first step, and then the second, the third, the fourth. On down the journey will be right there. We're on our way to heaven, and we're celebrating the joy of the Lord today. Amen. Y'all come on up, and let's let God touch us. Lord, you know who has received you. You know who needs to be baptized. You know who needs to just come and just spend some moments in prayer with you. But you know who. And so, God, I ask now that you would draw us to your grace. Lead us to your altar. Bring us to your life in all that we do. Church, I got some good news. This altar's open. You can freely come. You can receive Christ. You can be obedient. God's going to touch you. Thanks for being here, and thanks for coming right now and letting God speak to you. Let's start this holy week at the altar, praying, loving, receiving Christ. If you desire to be baptized, please come and talk to David or myself or other pastors as they get in here, and let's get that taken care of. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. Don't stand there today. Come on. There's a lot of you that are being drawn. I feel it today. Let God just draw you today in the name of Jesus. Come on. Thanks for coming.